Hello again. By the grace of God, we're here. By the grace of God, we have a message. By the grace of God, I pray that message will be applied, that we might be more like Christ. As we look to our final glorification, we will be without sin and with Christ forever in His presence. Today, one word, our title, wait. Wait. And as I so often do, we begin a message with a word study concerning our title. The Hebrew word translated wait, or a form of the word wait, such as waited. The word wait in the text I will use from the Old Testament means, figuratively, to wait in expectation. To wait in expectation. This means we wait with godly hope. As I've taught you in the past, godly hope is not an iffy question. Well, I hope so. Godly hope is expectation. The word, and again, we're referring again to the Old Testament, the word stresses the exertion, the diligent working, the effort of the mind in a certain or specific direction with an expectant attitude. Of course, we're going to find this to be true in the New Testament as well. To wait for, to wait on the Lord as He would have it, is to wait with an expectant attitude. Now, the Greek word from the texts I will use from the New Testament that is translated waits or waiting means to expect fully, to expect or await fully. See how all of God's Word comes up with this same idea. Now, taken in the whole realm, the whole counsel of God, which of course means both the New and the Old Testaments, the word wait has to do with waiting in full expectation of God's will being done in His people's lives for their good. This is a basis of the Christian's hope. We are waiting, are we not, as Christians? We are waiting in full expectation of God's will being done in our lives for our good. If we wait in full expectation on God's will for us, we must certainly believe that it is for our good, even when things are not in line with what we think is best for us. Now, I know I have a problem with that. Thinking, why in the world did God do this now? To do less, in other words, if we don't go with God and not with us, to do less will only cause us unnecessary grief. And I've done that to myself, which might lead to bitterness toward God. And oh my goodness, you must really guard against that. Such an attitude wars against your own soul. I've felt that way in my life. I realized I was warring against my own soul And in such cases, when we behave that way, if we're truly Christians, you can expect to be chastised by God. He's our Heavenly Father. And He loves us. And as the book of Hebrews tells us, 12:6, whom the Lord loves, He chastens, our Heavenly Father. And if you are bitter toward God for the way your life is going, and you profess to be a Christian, but are not corrected by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Scriptures are unapologetically clear as to the state of such people. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, that doesn't mean everybody in the world, folks. It means all God's children. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Hebrews 12:8. Examine yourself. I must examine myself. Now I want us to look a little more deeply into God's Word and, of course, learn from Christ. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, are the Word of Christ, waiting on the Lord, as we must, for our own good, and most importantly, for God's glory. For God's glory. To wait on God as a born-again Christian means we have a God-spirited hope. The Holy Spirit of God who is within us. A God-spirited hope which fully expects God to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. One of my favorite texts in the Bible, Psalm 143:8. I've woken up many mornings thinking of this, pondering this, praying this. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Speaking of the psalmist's faith here, which is in God, we must have that same faith. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift my soul up to you, the Most High God. That's why we lift our souls up. He's the Most High God. Now, the same psalmist, David, led by the Holy Spirit, wrote this: rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord. This is how we keep the Sabbath now. We rest in the Lord continually, every day, every moment, and wait patiently for Him. Now, the faith that we just saw in Psalm 143 and the steadfast expectation of the last scripture from Psalm 37 illustrate what it means to wait on the Lord by His design. If you think back to those two verses, we looked at faith and hope. Critical. Absolutely necessary to wait on the Lord. From here, I want us to look at some other scripture, again illustrating waiting on the Lord, but during times of suffering, which is prevalent in the lives of all true Christians. The word prevalent means extensively existing. We know as Christians what it means to suffer. We must fellowship with Christ in his suffering. Again, I cannot overstate how important that is. You will never know Christ like he should be known unless you fellowship with him in his sufferings. Every true Christian will experience that. And again, remember, that is prevalent in the Christian's life. Now, I want to read now from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Again, illustrating waiting on the Lord. And this is during times of suffering. For I consider that the sufferings, did you hear that? The sufferings, noting that there are numerous sufferings in the Christian life. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now listen up. Remember, we talked of expectation in waiting on the Lord. For the earnest expectation of the creature eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. He speaks there of the last day. For the creature was subjected to vanity, uselessness, not willingly. It doesn't depend upon your will, but the will of God, folks. It was God's will, but because of him, God, who subjected it in hope. My goodness, I hope you've been listening to what went before this. Because the creature itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, and that means decay. And we're going to see why he says decay here, because he speaks of the redemption of our body, as we're going to see. Because the creature itself also will be delivered from the bondage of the decay into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We will not rot in hell. Our souls will not decay. Our bodies will not decay as the people of God. Now, a little change of direction here, having spoken of the creature. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with pangs together until now. Remember what happened when sin came into the world. The ground was cursed. The earth was cursed. Animals became vicious. I'd like to read from Isaiah when we see what the creation will be delivered from. When we speak of the animals and the earth, but here we look primarily into the animal kingdom. How about that? This is a description again, folks, of the whole creation yearning to be delivered. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Now, what are you talking about, a little child? There are little children, folks, Christian little children, who have died who will be resurrected. That's why we see such. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Infants being saved by God. If that's in the purpose of God, and it seems to show so here, thanks be for the grace of God in his election of such. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. You see, the whole creation groans and labors, looking unto final glorification. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What does he speak of there? The resurrection at the last day, folks. Glorification of humanity. Saved humanity. For we are saved in this hope, in this expectation. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope, if we expect for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, I know your King James Bible say patience. Again, I think I have failed in trying to show you the difference between those two Greek words. But the word here should be perseverance, steadfastness, endurance. We eagerly wait for it steadfastly, folks, enduringly. Are you steadfast? Are you? Am I? Steadfast in expecting the redemption of my body? I hope it's not, I hope so, with that iffy thing. But I hope it's a solid expectation that you have. Oh my goodness, I look so forward to that. Being raised incorruptible. Expecting the redemption of your body at the last day. A glorified body made like Christ with no sin indwelling it. Folks, I stand here today with sin in my soul. At that day, that last day, that sin will be gone. I'll be raised anew in a glorified body to go along with my spirit, which had been regenerated when God saved me. Waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord is not a part-time endeavor. There are many professing Christians who do so on a part-time basis. Friends, there are no part-time Christians. To wait in expectation, full expectation, for God to lead us and guide us, also means we must apply ourselves to know his written word. Listen to Psalm 130, verse 5. Please, again, listen closely to this portion of the message. I'm going to have an expanded translation of this verse that is just wonderful. But as it so reads, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word do I hope. Now, from the meaning that we have learned concerning the word wait, this scripture is understood to say this in an expanded translation. Now listen, Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait with expectation. My soul diligently works with an expectant attitude. And in his word do I wait. In his word do I wait. Now, why have I used wait here and not the word hope? Well, if you look in your very own Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word here mentions wait as its primary meaning. Hope is fine. Don't get me wrong. But again, we see it, the tie, the close connection between waiting and hope. God's waiting and God's hope. Listen again to Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait with expectation. My soul diligently works with an expectant attitude. And in His word do I wait. In His word do I wait. Waiting for the Lord and waiting in His word requires us to continually apply ourselves. Psalm 25, verse 5, ends this way. On you, on God, I wait all the day, day in, day out. Hosea, the prophet, said this. Observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. I want you to think back to the beginning of the message. This continual waiting goes back to the very beginning of the message when we looked at the meaning of the word wait. The word wait stresses the exertion, the hard work, the effort of the mind in a specific direction. What is that direction, folks? That direction is looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus with an expectant attitude. This is the bottom line of waiting on or for the Lord. And why should we wait concerning Christ? 1 Timothy 1:11 gives us our answer. When we wait with an expectant attitude, an attitude of hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. Why would we wait with an expectant attitude? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Now, if you've heard anything in this message, count what I'm going to say now as most important. To wait on God is to expect from Christ. May I repeat that? To wait on God is to expect from Christ. Would you like to be more strengthened with faith, hope, and love in your life as a Christian? And you know, faith and hope both work by love. The scriptures attest to that in the New Testament very, very clearly. Faith and hope work by love. Would you like to be strengthened in those virtues? Psalm 57:2. Hold on now. Getting ready to close. Maybe a bit more brief of a message today. Psalm 57:2. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs for me. My goodness. What a glorious, glorious truth. As Christians, we cry out to God Most High because He performs for us. And then we've cried out to God Most High who performs for us, and then wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Folks, look unto Jesus. From that verse that we just read, if we wait patiently, we will have the courage to endure until God strengthens us with more faith, hope, and love. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.